This is Gordon, W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations on frequency with emergency or pretty traffic? Please call K2BAR. Hey, nothing heard. Well, again, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This is connected weekly on a frequency of 146.835 megahertz. The 2-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club. PL is located, PL is 151.4. And, of course, our offset is minus 600. The purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, natural sciences that underlie our hobby, and, of course, our operational experiences. It's an opportunity to post for sale, swap, or wanted items, and any other announcements that are of good order to the amateur radio community are also welcome. So, with no further ado, let me just also point out a couple other things. We have an Echo Link on Kilo Delta 2 Bravo Kilo Delta, Kilo Delta 2 BKD, and Dash L, that is. And that also is available if you need. So feel free to use that if you can't get into the repeater. So, with no further ado, let's get to it. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, please call K2BAR. With your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, or none of the above, or some of the above, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, nothing heard. Alright, any stations with call signs beginning with Kilo? Alrighty, nothing heard. How about stations whose call signs begin with November? Alright, last but not least, how about Whiskies? Alright, how about stations on Echo Link? Alrighty. Any stations, any call sign?
W2TTT, Al0Y.
Good evening, Ali. Welcome up. What are your intentions, sir?
NJ2BS, repeat.
If something comes up, I probably will jump in. But right now, just listening. AL0Y.
Okay. No problem. Anybody else for the TechNet? Alrighty. Nothing heard. Well, this is kind of bizarre. I don't know what to say, but we're just hanging out here, and there's not a lot going on. I did solve my problem. I reloaded the radio from the SD card, and that seems to have solved the issue.
So what was the issue again?
So on the A band, you wouldn't hear any audio coming out, except if it was almost like the squelch was all the way up, or that it was a slow reacting PLD code or something, because if you switch channels, you'd hear a little bit of a blip, but, you know, on the AVFO, but not, the B was fine. Everything was working fine on the B, but the A was weird. So, you know, I had the volume all the way up, and nothing was coming out. Squelch was turned off, the tone was turned off, and I mean, it was weird, and it applied to every channel on the A side. So I said, well, something's goofy here, so I just reloaded it from the SD card, and bang, everything came up.
Well, I'm happy that you managed to solve that, even though that's weird. Maybe some settings for a tone squealer on the receive, and I don't know, I never used that radio, but that's the only thing I can think of. That's interesting. Anyway, I double-checked the manual for my Kenwood radio, and manual says when transmitting, it should be drawing less than 13 amps, but my power supply says only 8 amps, so I'm not sure which is which, or if my power supply is goofy, so I'm going to try to use maybe another meter or something, just to double-check before I actually install it in the car. As I said, I'm not really planning into running cables back to the battery in this car, but unless I really have to, so I'm trying to avoid that if I can. Back to you.
Yeah, okay. That'll certainly work. I'll have to see. Yeah, like anything else, the power supply just may be giving all it can, and the radio is just self-limiting on that regard. In that regard, that could be. I've seen some supplies do that, where it just doesn't suck as much current as you'd like, the radio kind of self-limits too. It's like, oh, I guess I'm not getting 13, I'll get 8 and that'll be fine. Or maybe there's a surge capability on the power supply. That's often the case. They have a limited surge capability, that could be. So, who knows. As far as Saturday being ready to do stuff, that won't be a problem. I have a I have some wire that if we can find a way through the firewall, we can shove a piece of number 6, I think it's number 6, through it. That'll help you out a lot. And you can use a chassis ground for the return. That'll be insufficient, I would think. All you have to do is then just get a fuse for the battery terminal, which is relatively easy to do. In fact, I might even be able to come up with one for you. We'll see. Let's see, what else? Oh, I had something else. Well, let me drop it. See if anybody else wants to join the net before I start in. Anybody for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net, please call the KTBAR.
WBQ.
Hello, Mr. Rich. Welcome aboard. What are your intentions this evening?
I don't know if it's my location or the repeater. I'm getting a loud buzz.
Yeah, it's not so much of a buzz. It's probably, in your case, a hiss. But yeah, you're on the west side of the hill in Hasbrook Heights or Lodi, so yeah, you may or may not be in an optimal location. Are you just on the HD or are you on a mobile rig?
On the HD.
Well, you're making it. You're making it just fine. I mean, we're not missing a syllable. You're fine. You just got a little hiss on you. But nothing objectionable.
You continue. I'll be in listening mode.
Okie dokie. This may not be one of our most stellar TechNets, I'll tell you. Anybody else for the TechNet tonight? Okay. Well, anyway, so one of the other things I was sorting out was trying to figure out, why my DTD was not quite up to snuff. And I realized that had the ports numbered backwards. And I actually have the upper row of ports 1 through whatever, and the lower row is ports 25 and up. And so I kind of screwed that up, and I was able to get the device to be a DTD, but I couldn't get everything to work properly on it on the VLAN. And I wondered why, because I was plugging a VLAN 2 and a VLAN 10 device. twice into a VLAN 2 and a VLAN 30 port.
Okay, let me get this again. You have... Okay, so you have VLAN 10, 20, and 30 in the switch, and you got the DDT, but not the LAN. Did I understand that correctly?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yes, you have that correctly. What I did wrong was the router board itself was set up as VLAN 10. And at least that's what I think I set it up for. As a consequence, yes, I think that's what I had it set for. Anyway, I plugged it into the wrong side of the universe. So when I took the DTD port out of the router board, I wanted to plug it into the VLAN 10 port of the switch. And instead I had it plugged into the VLAN 30 port of the switch, and it wouldn't see the LAN devices on there, but would see the other nodes. So problem was solved by, at least I believe it's been solved by putting all the devices up on the correct part of the Cisco switch. It's the best way to describe it. Because my Cisco switches got 10, 20, 30, and 40 in blocks of 12, well, blocks of 11 ports apiece. You know, one DTD and 11 LAN ports each.
Let me ask a question. When you run a connection from the router board to the switch, do you need like two cables, one for the DTT and one for the LAN, being that it's already split on the router board?
Well, that's a really good question. I know the LAN devices are talking with each other at this point, so that's a really good question. Let me try to test that out. Hold on a second.
Okay, in the meanwhile, I just wanted to jump back to the bar supply thing. The bar supply actually is rated for 30 amps, 30, and the meter on the bar supply goes all the way up to 32, but when I'm transmitting right now on high power, 50 watts, it's only drawing 8 amps out of the bar supply. Anyway, back to you, AL0I.
Okay. To answer your question, I get no DHCP service from this, so that's interesting. So I think what I have to do is take one of those LAN ports on the router board and run a jumper over to one of the LAN ports on the switch, because otherwise it'll never see it. Because I'm noticing my laptop is not getting an IP address.
Okay, so mainly you're going to need two cables, one for DTT and one for LAN. And I'm assuming if you need to get the WAN, that's going to be either a separate connection or through the DTT from another node then.
Right. Well, what I did there was I took the WAN port on the router board and ran it directly over to the modem and be done with it.
Okay. That should work. And if you have another node, it will mesh the internet, though. Okay.
I believe it's doing that, actually. But yes, so let me do this. Let me just go get a jumper and test that theory of the LAN ports. Okay, so I just grabbed myself a small, short LAN port or LAN cable, and I should be able to just everything down a port just for neatness, because neatness counts, right? I will say, having all these little issues has caused me to tidy up a bunch of things. I mean, is it still worthy of more work? Oh, yeah. But overall, this is actually, you know, pretty darn wonderful. So, yeah, I have no complaints. So let me just... All right, I got the LAN in. I have the LAN port on my switch tied to the LAN port of the router board. I think that'll work. And it did.
Okay, that makes sense. That really makes sense now. Back to you, ALZY.
Yep. W2TTT. In the very happy mode right now. So I want to just clean up some cabling, because everybody needs to have clean cables, and for whatever reason, my mouse has decided not to work anymore, which is a little bizarre, but okay. We'll get that working, hopefully. Nope, of course not. You know, why would it work? So, something's goofy here. Now I have the goofy port on the of the mouse. A couple other things is kind of neat. Yesterday I found a loose connection on the fan for the Atom processor. And it was weird, so I said, gee, I wonder if I have a ground loop, because my display kept failing, and I noticed I had a problem with the fan, it was intermittent and blah, blah, blah. So, it turns out that essentially the computer has a small little heart attack that stops outputting video intermittently when you have no cooling on the CPU. Was pretty impressive to watch. But that's what I tracked it down to be.
Well, that's not good. That's definitely not good. Is the fan switchable? Can you replace it?
Yeah, well, I figured out what was wrong and I fixed the cable, so problem solved.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about when the video kind of freezes and starts to kind of collapse when the GPU got extremely hot. I know what you're talking about, and it is impressive to watch.
Yeah, so since my display and things are a little goofy on my FTM400 right now, I think I'm going to find a way to secure the FTM400 control head in the back for now, and then what I'll do is, if I need to operate in the front, I'll just get a microphone extension and run it up to the front, no big deal. This has in general been a second radio in the vehicle, so I think I'm going to consign it to the back and just bring it forward when I need to. And I will have to get a microphone extension, but that's easy enough. I can do it. It's a four pin RJ14 connector, so I can even use an RJ45 extender. I just need to make sure that I only use the right four pins on the cable extension, so it's not a big deal. But it's all good. Let me just take a standby here for a second, and then I get back to your power supply question. Anybody else for the Bergen Amateur Association technical net? Yeah, boy, there must be something really good on television. That's all I can say. We'll see. We'll see. So regarding your power supply, I would not run it in high power. I would run it in medium power, just pro forma.
See, the problem with the 10 volts is the medium is 10 watts, while the high is 50. And the sweet spot is somewhere in between, and I have no idea why they decided that the medium should be 10 only, when the low is 5 and the high is 50.
Yeah, you would have liked, you know, maybe like 15 watts or something like that. You know, basically something 5 or 6 dB increments, right?
I would look for 20, 25 maybe, but anyway, I mean, I can always take the battery with me, but I'm kind of, I would try not to actually, like, have to plug and unplug the battery, charge it at home, and so on. So I was kind of trying to use the cigarette lighter, but I'm not sure about running it on the edge. For receive, it should be fine, and most of the time I'm receiving, actually. When I'm driving, but last thing I want is for the socket to melt while I'm driving or something stupid happens.
Now, but I gave you a solution to that using another battery, and I still think that that's an acceptable way to go. You just have to make sure everything is hunky-dory. So my laptop and Maestro got DHCPs. The radio did not for whatever reason. So I'm rebooting the radio on the router board, and we'll see what happens now. See if it comes up. And yes, it did. How about that? It's an unnamed device, but it's there. So I have achieved digital nirvana.
That's very good. Is that the catalyst switch?
No, this is not a catalyst switch. I don't have those yet. This is a Cisco... Which one was that? Of course, it doesn't have the model number on the front, does it? No, of course not. Oh, yes, it does. SF200-48. Sierra Foxtrot 200-48. It's got a internal 12-volt power supply, which no longer is there, by the way.
That's very good. That's promising, though. It kind of tells you they probably run on 12 for most of the models, but that's very good. That's very good that you can run it on 12 volts. And it's 48 ports. That's good. Does it have a GUI interface, a GUI interface for setting up the VLAN and so on? Because the catalyst doesn't, and you're going to have to program it using command line. That's for sure. I'm pretty sure about that.
Oh, it has a lovely GUI. Yeah, this one came from Fred. The catalyst switches are going to come from Mike when they come. And what we may want to do is write down command line by command line what we want and, you know, basically build a script and with a lot of sleep statements in between and just have it just go, you know, here's your command, send a sleep statement, here's a command, send a sleep statement, and on and on and on, and just rock through it that way, because we'll know what the right timing is depending on what the command is, right?
Yeah, I believe there was a way to save the configuration. Like, you can run it on one, save the configuration to a binary file, you can actually download it, and you can upload it back using TFTP to restore the configuration files. But either that or a script should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I figure I would just write out a manual script file and then just write a program to just read in the file and issue one command at a time. patiently, and as long as it keeps getting command prompts back, you know, keep going, you know, just check for the return line or if there's something critical has to be done, check for that. But it's all good. Let's see, what else is going on here? Yeah, I'm pretty darn excited how I've got this switch working now. It really is working the way it needs to work. Four VLANs. I've got a 5 gig node and a 2 gig node inside the van. And I have the router board set up with a Wi-Fi hotspot on 2 gigs. And then I'm not using the 5 gig right now. If it makes sense, I would probably try to have it, have an uplink with that too. But I don't know if you can have the 5 gig uplink and the wired uplink at the same time, can you?
NJ2BS, repeat.
And the router board? No. No. Once you set up the wireless, it kind of eliminates the WAN. As far as I understand it, at least. It kind of eliminates the WAN. The WAN port, the Ethernet port, I mean.
Okay. Oh, well. So, then we just won't use that at all. No big deal. But what I want to do before the marathon is get the 16-port switch, pardon me, the 24-port switch rack-mounted into a rolling case of some sort. And even if I have to repurpose a DeWalt case and build my own rack into it. But I was thinking about that. I said, you know, need a simple way to get, nodes, cameras, etc. into place. And it would be pretty darn wonderful to be able to do that way and have everything self-contained in there so that you basically just pull it up on the desk and you've got a PC, you've got an external monitor. I have a computer with a USB monitor as well, so a laptop with a secondary USB monitor might be portable enough to deploy and not kill yourself. What worries me is, depending on what the camera situation is in New York, bringing in batteries is not a problem, bringing in cameras is not a problem, bringing in poles is not a problem. The problem is bringing all of that's a problem.
Well, I kind of imagine that. Yeah. Can you go with your vehicle there, or that's kind of going to have the vehicle outside and transport piece by piece? I know you stage usually in Central Park, but can you go inside with the vehicle?
Yes, on Saturday I can. Problem is getting it out on Sunday is more interesting. But right now, there are a couple of places on the course where someone wants to tunnel. And so if they have internet on the course, then I think we're going to be fine. Mike's going to help a guy. In fact, you and I may end up helping that person, too. We may have to flash a router board for Mike. We'll see. But Mike wants to basically hand the guy a router board, and he'll find his own internet. Hopefully it's 5 gig uplink or 2 gig uplink, whatever. And then a tunnel, and just connect his nodes to the DTD port and deploy his camera or cameras at his location. And then we'll look at it on a tunnel server in New York. But my guess is, just to make things easy, what we would do, I think I copied you on this email, I think the idea would be to have every tunnel client establish two tunnel connections, one to your tunnel server and one to mine, because we're on different networks. And then even in, while we're in New York, we would actually establish a teleclient from Central Park to, again, those two. And that way we just bring in the cameras that way through Blue Iris and be done with it.
Yeah, I saw that email. Yeah, that's fine. We're both actually on Optimum. Only switched the modem and the router, but I'm still with Optimum, though. I didn't go to Flyers. But that's fine. We can run redundancy, and if one of the nodes goes down, we can always fall back on the other. But we tried that during the fair, and that worked perfectly. So we can do that again. That's fine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I don't know whether there's going to be any post-finish line cameras or anything like that. What I'm inclined to do is, from our outpost, just kind of point a camera down onto the post-finish line area, just so we have a general idea of what's going on, because we don't have a lot of visibility to that inside our little tent, on the far side of the moon, as it were. You know, we're by the RCC, but not in it, you know?
Yeah, I guess I know where he's talking about. I never been there, actually, but I kind of have, like, kind of an image of where everything is from the course before and actually looking at the map and so on, but I never been there personally.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's an interesting little adventure to be there. All right. Well, I think I'm going to skedaddle at this point. I want to finish configuring what's on this LAN for the net, and get this all squared away. I'm very pleased things have come along. One other thing I did is I bought 10 of those power activity light, power switch, and reset button kind of ribbon cable thingies for PCs. So, A, if you need that, let me know, because I got a couple of spares. And B, if you just need either an LED on little push pins or a reset button on a pair of push pins with a bit of a ribbon cable, let me know. I'm pulling them off my single board computers and replacing them with these new ones that are integrated. So you're more than welcome to them if you want one.
Thanks, Morgan. Don't worry about that, but thank you. Anyway, I guess I'll see you Saturday then. That's fine. And we can talk in more details, but that's fine. Back to you. Emails it away.
Okay, Oak. Well, this has been the latest session of the Barra TechNet. Unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of participation, but I want to thank Ali and Rich for checking in, and it proved to be useful nonetheless. Always find a way. 73 all, and keep smiling. This is W2TDT K2BR, signing clear for now.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.